Sure. Thank you, Chair. So this is the third of three extensions requested for this project. This is the Starbucks that was originally proposed for here at the north, the southwest quadrant of the Woodlawn and Manchester Road intersection. It was proposed, if you recall, for the outlot here. I didn't quite see if the applicants, that they do have a representative here tonight. But essentially, as it was originally here, I've got this. So originally this project was approved in June of 2015. They've had some dealings on their end of the real estate deal that have held things up, and I'll let them go into more detail if they'd like. But they've requested two previous extensions as allowed by our code. And under the special use permit, they are allowed to request one more. So that's what's before you tonight. They're requesting the full 12-month extension, which would put it to June 4th of 2019. So I can answer any questions, and they do have a representative here.
Sure. Diana Schaefer, Novus Development, 20 Allen Avenue, Webster Groves. So we're excited. We have had a tenant who was not willing to have a Starbucks as the out parcel. We have met in the past 2 weeks with the new regional manager of leasing for the gym, and they are open to it. So we're very excited and hope to have an answer in the next few months. And it looks favorable. I think the lease had excluded anything other than a bank at that time, and we were very hopeful for Starbucks, and I think their members are as well.
Okay.
Sure.
Any
Yes. I attended the MoDOT open house probably, six weeks ago in Brentwood, and reviewed the site with a few of their engineers and just looked. It looks like they're reconfiguring the whole intersection. So it looked like new stoplights. That's what I saw, but there was nothing finalized that they could give me, but obviously that would be a conversation. It's not. Sorry.
Hello? Okay, there you go. So the city is putting in about $2 million to that development at that corner. And probably, as you're aware, it's been a major, major problem for 27 years. That corner, and it has great potential. I'm excited about Starbucks. I would encourage that you and John Brown sit down with the city and MoDOT to coordinate, so you've got synergy at that corner.
Absolutely.
And I hope you will.
Absolutely.
You know, talk with Jonathan or Russ Hawes or somebody about it. So what's your estimated completion date?
I don't have that now. Michael Cook has been working with the tenant and was unable to make the meeting tonight, so I'm standing in his place. But I think the message that we wanted to get across was that the tenant that has previously been unwilling to consider it is now potentially willing.
Okay. Well, I really hope that you bring it to you're able to consummate it.
Thank you.
Very good. Are there any other questions of the petitioner? Let me start on my right, since we've already started on my right. Kathy, Matt.
Quick one.
Sure.
Is all the stuff on the south side, the redoing of the parking lot, is that completed now?
Parking lot is complete.
Anything else left to do on the south side?
Not that I'm aware of. Sure.
Greg?
No questions.
Cindy?
None.
All right. There being no further questions, do I have a motion to approve PZ 24-15, Special use permit extension Starbucks at 10300 Manchester Road. I have a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor, raise your right hand. It's unanimous. Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have two items of unfinished business this evening. The first being PZ-29-18 rezone, R1 to R3, 1340 Bryan Meadows and 1506 Dougherty Ferry. Planner Lowry, would you like to start us up, please?
So as you recall from the last meeting, this is a request to rezone the property at 1506 Dougherty Ferry and a portion of the property at 1340 Bryan Meadows from R1 to R3. And the properties are currently occupied by residential homes. This is a subject site on Dougherty Ferry. Future land use map and the zoning map show this is a transition area from R1 and R3 are both in the immediate vicinity. The original lot is outlined here, and it is zoned R1. In the 70s, a portion of the lot was sold to the house at Bryan Meadows, and it was adjusted by deed, but never came to the city for a boundary adjustment. And now a portion of the main portion, the two owners on Bryan Meadows would like to boundary adjust. And because it's an R1 lot, we need to clean up the situation so that we can't readjust this lot without going below even further what it is. It is not a 1 acre lot. The subcommittee met at the site on April 24th, and no issues or concerns were raised. And the subcommittee report you have recommends approval of the rezoning.
That was a spoiler alert, right?
Yes, it was.
Good. Are there are there any questions for Ms. Lowry? I'll start on my left this time, Dan.
Does this adjustment send any of the lots in or out of compliance with the zoning?
Well, the original lot that was zoned R1 was already out of compliance with zoning, but when the rezoning is done and the boundary adjustments are redone, they will all be R3 lots that will meet the R3 15,000 square foot.
Any further questions? Okay, very good. Is there a representative of the petitioner here? Very good. Please give us your name and address.
My name's Tony Worm, James Surveying Company, 10811 Big Bend, Kirkwood, Missouri.
Very good. Thank you. Did you have any further comments?
No, or? Not really. Basically, you know, we went over this. The guy was just trying to acquire a little triangle of property, just to round off his square office property.
Right.
No building intentions, nothing like that. So he bought the lot next door and presumed he could do this cleanly, and obviously that didn't happen, and we're just cleaning up prior issues from the city, and it's all be taken care of, and no building's going to be done.
Right. Okay, very good. Are there any questions for the petitioner? I'll start on my right. Kathy?
No.
David?
So you said that no building is going to be done?
Nope. Basically, he's acquiring like 3,000 square feet, just a little triangle, just to straighten off his property line. I don't question what they wanted to do. I just do it. It's what I get paid to do.
Okay.
Matt?
No questions. Thank you.
Greg?
No questions.
Jim?
No.
No questions.
All right. Well, very good. This being a rezoning, there is an opportunity if there was any comment from the public. Do we have any cards with regard to this petition?
I believe all the cards are for the next item, unless.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah.
I could eat dinner now.
Right.
And I appreciate, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Do I have a motion to approve PZ29-18, rezone R1 to R3, 1340 Bryan Meadows and 1506 Dougherty Ferry. Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Second. Any further discussion? All right. I will now call for a vote to approve PZ29-18, rezone R1 to R3, 1340 Bryan Meadows and 1506 Dougherty Ferry. All in favor, raise your right hand. Opposed? All right, so that is 8 in favor, 1 opposed. So the petition, the motion passes. Very good.
Thank you.
And you're on the City Council. Thank you.
So no need to read the report? Is there no need to, we have to?
Oh, you know what? We didn't read the report. Go ahead, read the report.
Or vote on the report.
Petition number is PZ2918. The action requested is rezoning from R1 single family residential to R3 single family residential district. Petitioner is Mark McCracken. The property location is 1340 Bryan Meadows Court and 1506 Dougherty Ferry Road. The zoning is R1 single family residential. And the recommendation is due to the proximity to the general residential land use area and its immediate proximity to existing R3 zoned properties to the east, the subcommittee recommends that this petition be approved. Respectfully submitted, Kathy Outen and James Deal.
All right. A little out of sequence, but it passes still. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do we
have
still
a good
vote
evening.
On the subcommittee report?
We need to vote on the report.
Okay, we can do that. Do I have a motion to approve the subcommittee report?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, raise your right hand. Opposed? So we have 8 in favor, 1 opposed. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our second item of unfinished business is PZ2818, rezone R1 to R2, 1837 Bach Avenue. Mr. Race, would you like to introduce the petition?
Okay, so this request is before you is to rezone a portion of the property at 1837 Bach Avenue from R1 to R2. We introduced this item to you on March 7th. Since that time, there were subcommittee meetings that were held on March 15th, April 5th, and April 10th. And then it was continued at the last meeting of this commission on March 21st. This slide shows the current request, which was, if you recall, different from the original proposal. So the original proposal was to rezone the entire parcel to R2. After some initial feedback from the subcommittee, the petitioner on March 28th resubmitted a request to rezone approximately 38,000 square feet in the southwest portion of the subject property to R2 and have the remaining acre plus remain as R1. So this is the subject site. Just as a reminder, Ballas and Adams to the north, then South Ballas to the east, Bach and Westview to the south and west. These are the same photos that were shown at the introduction meeting of the subject site, the surrounding area, and just a refresher again, the location that it holds on our zoning map, right on the border between these R1 and R3 areas, as well as in the suburban residential area of our future land use, which is a reminder, suburban residential lists 1 to 2 dwelling units per acre as appropriate development types from our comprehensive plan. This image is another image, and I believe the applicant has a similar image in their slideshow, but this just shows it's a little washed out, I apologize for that, but this shows the subject parcel here in the center being 1.98 acres and just showing the context of some of the immediately adjacent properties and their sizes. So ranging everywhere in the immediate adjacency from, I believe, 0.52 and then upwards to really their site 1.98 or 1.42 across the site. So that's some context as far as lot size. So the petitioner is here, and they do have some slides as well to present. I'm available for questions at this point, and they'll present their information as well.
Okay, well, and I do have some questions for you, so let me start it up. And I want to make sure that I'm crystal clear on where we're headed with this. So under the present R1 zoning, how many houses can be built on the 1.98 acres?
Under the current R1 zoning,
correct.
There would be one house that could be built.
Okay. And under the R1 zoning, that one house could be built anywhere on the site, subject, of course, to zoning restrictions such as lot coverage and setbacks. But a new house could be built on the south end of the lot, which is where the current house is. It could be built on the north end of the lot, or it could be built somewhere in between. Would that be correct?
Yes, barring the setback requirements that you mentioned and all those zoning requirements, that's correct. It'd also be subject to, there is a little bit of floodplain in the very north of it, so they would be subject to, and that wouldn't preclude the development. It would just require an additional permit. But
okay. And then could trees be cleared anywhere on the site in preparation for the construction of a house?
Yes.
All right, so the trees could be cleared at the north end, the south end, or in the middle?
That's correct, in conjunction with construction. Yeah, correct.
Okay. All right, very good. If the proposed rezoning is approved by City Council, how many houses could potentially be built on the 1.98 acres?
In the current proposal, the maximum would be two homes.
Okay, very good. So there's a difference of one home?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, according to the petitioner's survey, there would be one conforming R2 lot containing 0.89 acres and one R1 conforming lot containing 1.09 acres. That would be accurate, correct?
So there would be zoning districts at this point, but they would allow lots to be created through the subdivision process that would conform at that point when they are subdivided.
When it's subdivided, okay. Mm-hmm. And then last question, under the proposed rezoning, could three houses be built on the 1.98 acres?
Not barring any, barring any variance or any other process, public process, it would not.
Okay. Could four houses be built on the 1.98 acres?
Be the same answer.
Okay. So there would be a maximum of two houses under the the proposed rezoning?
Under our current zoning regulations with the districts proposed, that's correct.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Raich? David?
So just to clarify, you said under the present zoning only two houses are going to be built, but a developer, builder?
No, that's incorrect. Under the current zoning, only one house can be built.
On the other lot, you said two houses.
Well, I think what he's referring to is I said under the current zoning regulations.
Okay.
So with the proposal, under the current zoning regulations, two houses could be built, I believe. Is that correct?
But you also said that they can request a variance and have additional houses or what, right?
Yeah, anybody can request a variance at any time, and that's a separate Board of Adjustment hearing. The threshold for that is necessary hardship or practical difficulty, so it's a high bar, high threshold. That's correct.
What percentage of the time are variances granted in this city?
I don't have that information.
Okay. But it's not an absolute to say that two houses can be built because they can go for a variance, and if they get a variance, they can get more than two houses.
I can tell you that staff has advised them that the rezoning process is the proper request at this time rather than a variance to the lot area. So, and actually, which one of the residents did bring this question up earlier, is in this instance, if they were to request a smaller lot size than required, it would actually be not be a variance, it would be a subdivision waiver, because what they're doing is a subdivision action. So which you have, this board has all heard those requests previously, the subdivision waiver would come before you in conjunction with the subdivision and then would ultimately be decided by the City Council, which the threshold for that is still a practical or a unnecessary hardship.
Okay. All right, but I think that's relevant information that they can do that. It's very relevant.
It would be subject to, again, to review by this board and public,
okay,
public process.
Thank you.
Any further questions for Mr. Raich? Okay, thank you. Would the petitioner like to make a presentation?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Name and address, please.
My name is Skip Dufour. I'm an attorney. My offices are at 8011 Clayton Road, St. Louis, 63117. Yeah, I'm sure I will. And that's good. I was hoping at least one of those yellow cards would be for the prior matter, but I wasn't really kidding myself about it. With me tonight is Sherry Schwartzbaugh, who is the owner of the property. It's actually held in a trust that her father had established long ago, and he's deceased now. She's the trustee and the owner of 1837 Bach. There's been a lot of discussion about our process, quite aware of it. I'd like to explain where we started with our petition and where we are now, and Mr. Raich has provided some of that information, but I have to admit from the outset, it was never our intention to kill Sugar Creek, so it's hard at times for me to understand the Save Sugar Creek movement, but we started this process seeking originally three lots to rezone the property, which is R1 now, the 1.98 acres, into three lots. And part of the reason that that happened that way is because I did look at the city's 2035 future land use plan, and I saw that it was slated for 1 to 2 units per acre. And I'm the one who said, well, let's see if we can do three lots on R2. That was the petition that was presented. When we met with subcommittee, it was quite obvious that there was a tremendous desire and interest of preserving at least the 1 acre zoning along South Ballas. So we went back to the drawing board. We amended our petition to leave the 1.1 acre as R1 and only seek to change the balance of the site to R2, which is about 37,000 square feet in the 25,000 square foot minimum. There is no intention to do anything other than that proposal. If this is granted, the petitioner can't do anything other than that proposal unless the city would allow it, this board and the city council. And there was no intention whatsoever at all to do that. And I think that some of the misconception about Save Sugar Creek, because I've read articles that said we were looking to do as many as 6 lots, it's totally untrue. I don't know where that came from. It's totally untrue. In the amended request, with a little more than an acre, quite frankly, we thought that that would be a benefit because it would allow that much more, so to speak, of a preservation area along Ballas. And as Mr. Raich indicated, these lots, if rezoned, or this lot if rezoned, will have to meet the subdivision requirements. And this boundary adjustment survey plat does show that it conforms with the side yard, front yard, and rear yard setbacks within the zoning code for R1 on the lot closest to Ballas, and also the setback requirements for R2. So there would be no variances that would be needed with respect to setback lines on these lots if this R2 zoning is allowed. And again, I mean, that R2 lot, none of these lots could be further subdivided unless it was application, city protest, and this board would have to grant it. And there's no intention whatsoever for that to be done. Now my client does not have the property up for sale. There is no developer waiting in the wings, but this was done in order to ready the lots for sale. And that was always mentioned at the first meeting with Mr. Raich, because I wanted to understand, could we go through the rezoning process without going through a subdivision process? And he said, yes, they're not tied together, and I didn't see anything in the code that did tie them together. And the difference is, quite frankly, monumental. Because, as you know, to subdivide, tremendous amount of expense and engineering has to be done. You have to meet all the development standards of the city to get approval. This has to come before you. And my client was just trying to get this property available for sale as two lots. Now, we have 1.98 acres, not two. So even if we were to try to subdivide it, which we did not believe was the proper approach, each lot would have to be 1 acre. So the one on Ballas would actually be smaller than what we're proposing here. And it would require a subdivision waiver because we are 2/100ths of an acre short to meet the minimum 1 acre requirement in the R1 zone. And that's about 870 square feet. That's about 435 square feet per lot. About a room size of 20 by 20 short. But even having considered that, we wanted to rezone, and through the rezoning process, just of this portion here now, we actually believe that we are presenting a better alternative to the city than if going through the subdivision process in attempting to create 2.99 fractional interest acres instead of what we're proposing here. I'd like to look at the adjoining neighborhood area. Let's see.
What do I hit? Over button just once.
There we go. Let's take a moment and just look at this. Here is our lot right there, 1837. I'm sure people in the room are more familiar than I am, but there's North Ballas, there's West Adams, there's South Ballas. All these lots that are in blue or purple are zoned R3. The ones that are in white are zoned R1. Our site right there, all these lots along Bach comes in and curves to the east. All of those, although zoned R1, are less than 1 acre, with the exception, I think, this lot here, and I can't read the number. I know that Mr. Marchione, who owns this house here, has communicated with the city, and he has actually recently written a letter saying, why don't we just subdivide? That would solve the problem and everybody would be happy. He did write a letter, something like that, proposing it as a mutual solution. I mean, his lot is also zoned R1, and he's got about 21,000 square feet. 21.6. The Defanis, who are and the three lots going to the west on Westview, the Defanis are neighbors to this lot here. Their lot is also zoned R3. And their lot is about 28,100 square feet. So what we're proposing here for our lot of almost 39,000 square feet is larger than these complaining lots. And all of these lots here, as I said, that back up to Ballas, they're 1 acre, but only one acre zoning, but only one of them is actually meets that requirement. And even as you go around the curve here, that's another one there. So when we looked at this, and when I say, and I don't mean it facetiously about saving Sugar Creek and preserving Ballas, when we amended our request to have 1.1 acres along Ballas, you know, we actually thought that we were conforming to what the objections were and staying compatible to the neighborhood. There's another aspect to this lot. Ballas, from there to there, before you get to Bach, there's a guardrail. This is a county road. There is a guardrail. There will be no access from Ballas Road onto this developed lot. The access would be on both lots off Bach Avenue. Two single-family detached homes. I've heard complaints about traffic. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's two homes, and the traffic, they're not going to be driving all around there. The traffic is in and out. So I find it hard to believe that a traffic is truly an issue there. Mr. Raich mentioned the floodplain. There's a very portion of the property up there that is in floodplain. Many of these lots that are developed here, quite frankly, have a whole lot more floodplain in them. And there's, again, to develop these lots through the subdivision process, the requirements are going to have to be met in order to show that there's no negative impact on the floodplain and MSD. And quite frankly, if that can't be proven and be done, that's a reason to deny a subdivision if that's a material factor. But in our belief, it's not actually appropriate at this time for rezoning. And we don't anticipate it to be a problem at all because there's just a very small area there that is in the floodplain. And my client, Sherry, tells me that the property's never flooded. Her father bought this property in 1954. And it was part of, there were two lots that he bought in 1954. And these subdivision lots, he later transferred them to his trust in 1999, but he 54, so that's, you know, 64 years ago, and then he transferred them to a trust when his wife was alive in 99. And the two lots, Lot 15 of Strom Place and Lot 34 of Highland Terrace. Those were two platted subdivisions. This is really hard to read, obviously really hard to read. But this is an old plat of Highland Terrace. And that subdivision was created in 1912. And the lot that Mr. Fredrickson bought is Lot 34, and unfortunately we can't really see it on this display, but it was only a platted lot. It was only about 6/800 of an acre. It was not a full acre. All these other lots when first platted were much larger, you know, 1 and 2 acre lots. And over time, these lots got subdivided and rearranged and gerrymandered, and roadways were built through here that didn't exist at the time these were first platted. In fact, Mr. Blanner's lot on 107 North Ballas, that lot, again, it's zoned R1, but that is only a 29,600 square foot lot. And it was originally part of the same Highland Terrace subdivision. It was part of Lot 36 of Highland Terrace. Our lot was 34. It was part of Lot 36, and which was originally 2.5 acres. But all of this got subdivided and changed over the years. Likewise, Strom Place. Boy, that's hard to read too. Really hard. But Mr. Fredrickson, when he bought the two platted lots, bought Lot 15.
Right there.
And at the time of that purchase, Lot 15 was 3 and 93 hundredths of an acre. And all these properties here were of large size at that point in time. And like the Blanners lot at 107 North Ballas, these lots on Bach that back up to South Ballas, 1835 Bach, 1823 Bach, 1817 Bach, 1809 Bach, 1803 Bach, and 325 South Ballas, all of those lots became configurations out of this Strom place, either lots 12, lots 13, or lot 14. They all got developed and subdivided and created as parts of those lots as development occurred over time. And that subdivision was platted in 1910. So these are old, old properties, and you guys know better than I that how far Kirkwood goes back in time. So what happened here, see if my next slide shows that or not. Yeah. What happened here is when the roadway system got developed, South Ballas came through lot 15 of Strom Place, my client's property. It took a 60-foot wide swath through the entire property when South Ballas was constructed, which I'm not sure when it was. I was talking to Mr. Raich, it was maybe in the 30s. But it took 60 feet right away, right through the property from there to there. And it divided Strom Place, my client's lot 15, into two parcels. The one on the east, which is 1.42 acres, and the subject tract here of 1.98 acres. That taking, or the reduction of size of lot, was more than an acre when South Ballas was constructed right through lot 15. And the other thing that affected in a smaller way, but also affected the lot size, and that's what this plat shows here. This is a 2002 plat where Ballas goes up and then it notches and Ballas goes up here. Is this was the bridge construction for Sugar Creek that went through there, and that also further reduced some of the acreage size of these lots. So what happened then was that this adjusted plat was created in 2002. This is certainly after South Ballas, but around the time of the construction of the bridge improvements, and we ended up with adjusted lot 1 and 2. In around 2002, Mr. Fredrickson built a home over here and lived in there for several years before he sold it to another Kirkwood resident. But up until then, before he built that house there and lived there, he lived in this homestead since 1964. And that's where Sherry Schwartzbaugh was raised, right there. So there have been a lot of changes over time. And these changes have actually made our property 2/100 of an acre short, not through their fault or not through their design, where technically there's not compliance with two lots under the R1 zoning district. And again, you know, rather than simply come through with a subdivision, there's another reason here too, and I should go back to this, in terms of looking at this and deciding, trying to figure out what to do after it became, again, hard to see. But after the three-lot faux pas was made and that approach was made, and we came back and tried to figure out, well, where should we best draw this line to do ask for R2 zoning? There is an MSD easement that runs right through there, so it's dashed line. You can maybe see it if you've got handouts. But we took the line and drew it right through there so that there would be no relocation, no disruption to that MSD easement in the development of those lots. And there is a portion of it back here that affects the building envelope, but still there's plenty of building envelope meeting setback requirements for this proposed R2 lot, and same over here. But that was a consideration also for drawing the line there and creating more, a bigger lot on South Ballas. And again, there's no way and there's no intention to try to sneak anything through about why not subdividing now. That would all be brought before you and for decisions to be made. But we truly do believe that this is consistent with the zoning in the neighborhood. We will maintain 1 acre along Ballas, and there are other lots that are not of that size. And there's some that are, certainly. And I'm not saying that they're not, but then we're not bucking up against that. We're only asking here now that we get R2 zoning, which is a bigger lot than virtually all of these. Not all of them, because some of these in the R2 actually are bigger than the 15,000 square foot minimum. But the ones in the immediate vicinity, and certainly these R1 lots that back up to South Ballas, are much smaller than actually 1 acre. So certainly variances or something must have been obtained in the past. I don't know. But we're not asking for any variance. We're just asking for rezoning so that we can build a very nice lot here of 39,000 square feet. And this other one is... Yeah, it's 39 and 47 is what the two are in round numbers. It's 86,400 square feet is the total site. So roughly in round numbers, that's 49,000 and, I'm sorry, 47,000, and that's 39,000. That's really it. I think we don't believe that this is going to create any havoc to the neighborhood. We truly don't. We're not looking to be bad neighbors to people. Homes of significant value would be built on those lots. Ground is not cheap in Kirkwood. Anyone who buys those lots is going to have to build nice homes on them, and we think would be a wonderful addition to the city. And we really don't know why this has become such a thorn, other than the misstep of three lots and then the misthought that somehow you could turn three into six. But we believe this would be good, consistent planning and zoning, and we request your favorable recommendation vote tonight.
All right, thank you. Before you leave the podium, are there any questions for Mr. Dufour? Questions?
Very good. I have a question.
Oh, go ahead, Matt.
Yes, sir. When lot 15 was divided, when the original lot, the larger one, was divided by Ballas Road, that the owner was compensated by the city for that acre loss?
You know, I honestly don't know. I didn't know the family at that point in time. Actually, I just worked with this client. They referred me to do the work, so she didn't know. I asked her the same question because it happened, we think, in, well, actually, no. I would say the answer to that would be no, because if you look at the legal description to the lots, and I know you can't read it,
taken place before 1954 when the lot was bought. So I didn't mean to suggest that that happened during his watch or his ownership. I was suggesting that's the reason the lot sizes got created to what they are that we're dealing with today.
Okay, thank you.
But and now he did own it at the time of those bridge improvements, and I am not aware of any compensation that was received in 2002 when the Sugar Creek Bridge improvements were affected the properties on both sides, both lots.
David?
You said a small percentage of the properties in a floodplain. Do you know what that percentage is?
You know, Jonathan had an exhibit in the first presentation that showed that.
Yeah, so it's about 7,000 square feet, or about 8% of the whole 1.98 acres.
And I do know where it is. Whoops. And correct me if I'm wrong, Jonathan, but I think it's like right about there.
Yeah, it would. The vast majority of it would all be located in the setbacks as shown on that exhibit.
Yeah,
in that area.
If that was a true, that would be a true statement, because it's clearly within the setback area. Yes, sir. And
any further questions for Mr. DeFore? Good. Well, thank you very much. This is the time where we have an opportunity for public comment.
Thank you.
Once again, limit your comments to 3 minutes. You will be timed, and direct your questions to the Planning and Zoning Commission. Let me remind you that this is not a question and answer period. When you approach the podium, please give us your name and address. Jonathan, do you have a first speaker?
First speaker is Karen Bouch, or Bouch, Bouch, Bouch. Next will be Esther Gear after that.
Pardon?
The next speaker is Esther Gear, if you want to.
Okay.
Be prepared.
Yes, Karen Bouch, and I am at 268 South Ballas. So I'm right below where Bach enters, just up a little bit. I would be the next house up. I have been there for 34 years. So I'm a longtime resident of Sugar Creek area. I have been out of town, but in the midst of finding out about this, definitely was concerned. I'm better off in terms of only having two properties versus that, but I would still recommend that there remain to be one. I have been in front of this group before regarding other properties along Ballas that have requested to be built on under an acre, and for some reason, it seems like we always continue to grant them. Now, some of those had a house on it that was an old house that had a very, very small deal, and so it got grandfathered in. But since I've been there, we haven't rezoned anything or subdivided it so that it could be done. I mean, the main things are the area is unique. You still need to keep it looking like it is. The other part, though, is really safety. And I understand there's now not going to be any driveway onto Ballas. But on the other hand, it is extremely crazy intersection of Bach and Ballas. I have seen a death there. I have seen a rollover accident. I have seen bicycles doing that. So now you're bringing off driveways or something onto Bach, and it's going to be another. My other concern is that then you're going to be coming forward with, we need to now change Bach in order for that to be safe. And I do think there's still, I'm not that knowledgeable of it, but the water issue, but I can guarantee you when it rains, I cannot get to my mailbox. And they're downstream from me, so that won't impact it a whole lot, but it is the continued, every time we make another variance or do put more concrete, more insoluble thing, it continues on downstream. So I can already see when there's heavy water, we have the manholes of the sewer flooding up and going over. So it needs to be really looked at and concerned. I just don't want there to be a precedent set on this. And I'm just concerned about the mainstream limits down the way. So I'd recommend no. Any questions?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Esther Gear.
My name is Esther Gear, 236 West Adams in Kirkwood. I've been following this Sugar Creek Valley, Protect Sugar Creek, and this property at 1837 Bach. It is just about 2 acres. Why should any owner be held to the R1 zoning when other property owners and many of the people that are complaining about this rezoning are zoned R1, and yet they have between a quarter of an acre, half of an acre, many less than 1 acre. Yet this owner is being held on 1.98 acres to build two residents or to subdivide it for two residents, only one additional resident, I mean, how can that impact safety with one additional resident there? How can that impact the water flow or anything? I mean, it's, to me, reading these articles every week, I just really feel sorry for these owners who have come against people that are petitioning and gaining money and putting up all this advertising for one additional lot, even as far as going as saying that there's going to be six homes on that lot when there was never that intention. Three was going to be the maximum. The Webster Kirkwood Times article dated April 6th through 12th, many discrepancies. The lawyer's gone over many of this. The Blanner article saying six homes never was the intention. They've owned this property for 64 plus years and are literally asking for one additional residence on almost 2 acres. I just don't see where the problem is. And then the article dated April 13th through 19th also has many discrepancies. Why are we holding this resident, selectively enforcing 1 acre lots, when the majority of the other people that are opposing to save Sugar Creek are on quite a few less than this particular owner? I just don't understand how that can happen. So here's the question. How many homes are zoned R1 and are less than an acre, which are located off of Ballast, West Adams, Bach? And the answer is many. It should be noted across the street from Bach on South Ballast Road sits a house for sale, 0.688 acres, 30,000 square feet. And for the audience, I'd like to enforce that an acre is 43,560 square feet. So this particular one at 30,000 square feet is far less than its current zoning of R1. Of the 16 residents that live on Bach Avenue between South Ballast and Boaz, only three lots are actually 1 acre and are zoned R1. The others are less than an acre. Of the 30 residents on Westview Adams, 12 are 1 acre lots or more, and 18 are less than an acre, also zoned R1. Okay, does that mean I have to conclude? In conclusion, you can't allow selective enforcement to occur for these owners. Selective enforcement is unfair, okay? And we have to trust the Kirkwood officials that have previously acknowledged that one rezoning approval by the city will not have a domino effect. That's been stated. Each rezoning request is considered separately and based upon the site-specific facts that surround that particular request. These residents that are in opposition should be assured by the Kirkwood leadership that they're not going to rezone R1 properties without discretion. And I would just like to say that it is just one additional residence that they're asking for. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rick Blanner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. I am Rick Blanner, and I do reside at 107 North Ballast in Sugar Creek. I've been at this address now for 21 years, and I'm also a lifelong citizen of Kirkwood. As what's been previously mentioned here, my home on Ballast was titled in 1900, making it one of the oldest properties in Sugar Creek Valley. And yes, at one time it was 2.5 acres. I think it's ironic that I'm under an acre now and we're arguing about this, just as a side note. For the record, I do oppose the petitioner's request to rezone this property. And as a part of this process that you've afforded me in this matter, I'm going to limit my concerns to a stormwater runoff and its relation to this very unique site for my reasons for opposing this. I think to limit or ignore the topic of runoff as it relates to this site, which is very, very sloped, would be dismissing something that's really important to that creek. Mr. DeFore mentioned that, you know, they're trying to prepare this property for sale. Nobody, I don't think anybody's against anything like that. But what's going to happen is, and in the development of a property like that, it's going to increase water runoff. The introduction of impervious surfaces, I'm sure that's a phrase that grates planning and zoning's nerves, but it's going to introduce a lot more runoff into a creek that is already very, very stressed. Last March, at the very end of March, we had about a little over 1 inch rainfall. And that whole bottom section of 1837 Bach and the residents immediately to the west of that, which I believe is Mr. Brown's house, that was just severely flooded. It doesn't take a lot to get the water rolling down there. United States Geological Survey calculates, and this is just the 1 inch rainfall coming onto that property, is like 54,000 gallons of water. That doesn't sound a lot, you know, in the overall scheme of things. But when you take into account that the Sugar Creek area that we're talking about, the Sugar Creek watershed, is almost 1,500 acres, a lot of water comes through there. Now, granted, the ground soaks up a lot of that, but a lot of it makes it, its way down that creek. I'm one of the six adjacent homes that's immediately west and downstream of this property. When I first purchased this home in 1997, I was not in a floodplain. Since that time, I've gone through two additional FEMA designations, one going from a 500-year floodplain now to a 100-year floodplain. We've been told by various entities like MSD, Army Corps of Engineers, Department of Natural Resources, this is the new normal. And it's, frankly, it's something that's, we've got to stop it.
Sir, your 3 minutes are up.
I have one last sentence, if you would, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
I think until Kirkwood leadership, in conjunction with its citizens, can develop an enforceable storm water management program, which I understand from Mr. Hawes is in the works, and it's, in fact, overdue, I ask this committee, this commission, to deny this request until we can get this thing sorted out. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jim Vicopal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. My name is Jim Vicopal. I live at 111 North Ballas. Two houses from Rick's house. And our backyard butts up to Sugar Creek. I'm a registered architect. And I designed the house that's at 111 North Palace and had it built. During the design process, one of the things that we had to consider was stormwater drainage and the floodplain. Because half of our property, 1 acre lot exactly, half of that property is located in a floodplain, the 100-year floodplain. The floods here occur very quickly. It's a flash flood. And the water comes running down those hills very quickly, and the water goes up very quickly and drains off very quickly. I know it's flooded there many times when I wasn't home, because I saw the evidence of it with the trash from the water being carried down across the property. As it recedes, it leaves the trash on our lawn. So I know it's flooded many times that I haven't seen it. Other times I have seen it. Now, what causes increased runoff is more, as Rick pointed out, more impervious materials and less absorptive materials like farmland and just raw land or planted land or trees. Trees take a lot of moisture just to live, and they put that moisture up into the atmosphere through their leaves. But they do contribute to managing water drainage, water runoff. Adding to that impervious material and a reduction of the trees and other planted material through a development of a couple of acres could be very significant to my property.